holiday.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Aranda's Sports Bar inside Taqueria Aranda's on North Shepherd. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, baby. As we are live right here, a little Football Friday action. Come on out. Come on out here to Aranda's Sports Bar. And
roll that R for me one time. Aranda's. Roll that R for me one time.
Aranda's.
There you go. I like that.
Aranda's.
There you go. Back to back, man. Hey, he rolled two of them joints.
In the Heights right here off North Shepherd is Brandon Scott texts me. Are y'all in spring? No, we ain't in spring, baby. We out here in the Heights.
That's how much time we spend up in that area, though.
There you go.
Yeah. Scott here is nowhere around here.
He sees we're not in the studio. He's like, them boys must be in spring. Yeah, well,
hey, Halloween, a little Thursday night watch party will be in spring. By the way, Buffalo Wild Wings are flying out.
I'm thinking about moving up there.
Might as well. Do quick out there.
Save a little gas.
Save a little gas out there. But come on out. Hang out with us. As this segment ends, we will hook somebody up with a pair of tickets to the basketball game. The exhibition game happened at the Fertitta Center between U of H and Texas A&M. That we will hook somebody up with a pair of those tickets as soon as this segment ends. If you're in the building, if you've haven't signed your name and put it in the raffle box, you might want to do so. Also coming up a little bit later, your chance to win not one but two different Academy Sports and Outdoor gift cards, $25. We're going to hook somebody up, or multiple people up, with those as well. So come hang out and have a good time with us on a little Football Friday. And speaking of Football Friday, Clint, as the Texans take on the Colts coming up, big game really for the division. The Colts win this game, they will be tied for the division lead. And if the Texans win it, they will have really, really spread out some distance between them and the Colts being in first place in the division. What are you expecting offensively in this game, Clint? I'm gonna tell you where I am to see if we're in the same space. Clint, I am expecting a huge bounce back performance offensively for this team. I think that the Texans and those guys got a lot of pride in what's been said about them. I think CJ cannot wait to get himself going and get out on this field and prove that last week was just one game and that was it. And I think they want to go out and put up big time points. I will be extremely disappointed, Clint, if this game offensively for the Texans looks the way it did against the Bills in the second half in particular, looks the way it did against the Vikings and the Packers and the Bears. I expect that this offense looks smooth and they bounce back from last week's performance, from the offensive line, who all they have heard all week is how terrible they are and how much they care about social media more than they care about the game, and how Laramie Tunsil has a before outfit and an after-game outfit like he's at a wedding or something. All they have heard is the negativity from the offensive line. Tank Dell didn't have a catch in the game and dropped a touchdown pass. That is a prideful dude. That's a dude that's been that size, that has gotten himself to the NFL. That is a dude that worked Stephon Diggs, in a way got called out by his coach for the pregame stuff that he got involved with. I expect, Clint, this offense, because if they don't, if this game looks like it did last week, anywhere close to it, it looks like it did against the Vikings or the Bears, then the Texans got a real problem on their hands. If y'all can't get ready for this one after everything that's happened this week, I expect a big turnaround for the Texans offense this week.
Yeah, I don't
know. You don't. I don't like the way you tilted your neck like that. So you don't.
I mean, I don't. Now, the Indianapolis Colts are not the caliber team that scares me the way that some of the defenses that you mentioned. Like, so clearly, I expect there to be an uptick because of the opponent. But I don't believe that you're going to go out there and have as easy an afternoon as you did last time against the Colts. Now, that game was closer than it should be, but the Texans really handled that game and allowed about three explosive plays to keep the Colts close. But the Colts didn't do anything in that game for anybody to go, oh, boy, man, they're really playing with the Texans. The like the quarterback getting hit and throwing it 68 yards in the air and getting a touchdown out of that, none of those plays are do you have the ability to rely on again this week? And so I think they're a lesser opponent than the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay
Packers. That goes into it.
I expect them to be better, but it was bad enough last week to where I've got to, as I've said before, I've got to see them.
So you're not confident to say this group is going to bounce back on Sunday?
I define bounce back. Do I think they can beat the Colts? Yeah, I think.
No,
they
I don't
can
mean
run,
just beat
I think
the Colts.
They can
no,
run
you're
the
right.
football. To me, you'd have to go out there and be locked down from a protection standpoint for it to be an improvement.
I'm just saying, you don't think you don't get a sense that you will walk away from the game thinking that, hey, this is they put together an offensive performance that was what the expectation is. They put together an offensive performance where not just win the game, right? Not just win it, because they won the game against the Bears, but the offense wasn't good. They won the game against Jacksonville, but they had to hang on.
I expect more of that.
I think we'll have some real problems.
Yeah, that's where we're at. I mean, there's nothing we've seen in 2024 that tells us that we're not going to be talking about a close one-score game again. Whether win or lose, it's going to be a one-score game, and we're going to clean up some stuff. We're going to fix some problems, and yeah, there's nothing that we've seen throughout. Like, there's no opponent that we can really point to this year. Damn sure not consistently, and damn sure not the better opponents. And go, yeah, that right there is the level of play that we're going to get for four quarters. Every game, there's been a major, I'd say, downfall for the Texans that made a game a one-score game.
Text line and YouTube and Twitch, where are you at on this? Wesley Woosley on YouTube and Twitch says, no, I think we are what we are at this point, is what Wesley has to say. Coming up on the text line again, Ron, the problem is the Texans have not given us anything that makes us feel comfortable about saying it's going to be a bounce-back week. Every week, it's the head turner. They played this team in week one and put up almost 30 points in the game. There was some pressure issues, but they were able almost to put up against 30. They put up 41 in the game before this one against. Listen, I don't think the Patriots are good, but their defense isn't just pathetic. I think obviously this group is capable offensively to look like the offense I think we thought that we were going to get in the league. To me it's like, if you can't get going this week after everything that you don't have the pride in you, after everything that's been said about people up here talking, you said it yesterday, it's a 5-2 football team, and we got people, national people, talking about what's wrong with the Texans.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the offense?
They got a little sense.
And it's fair. No, but I'm not saying it's not fair, but I mean, if you can't get yourself up and going, I mean, listen, the Colts aren't, they're not. Like I said, if they can't get it going against them, they're not the Ravens or the Chiefs or any of these other defenses.
Look, I'll tell you, I expect the Texans to win this game, and I expect the Texans to play well enough in the first half or the second half to make it tough for Indianapolis to win the game at the end. Which is exactly what they did against the Jaguars and the Bears and the Colts the first time and the Patriots. Well, the Patriots, they did. They blew the doors off the Patriots, 41-21.
Do you think this game is close because the offense has struggles?
Yes.
And not because the defense is. Like, you think it's because the offense has struggles, yes, and they keep it close?
Yes. I think the protection is a real problem, and I don't subscribe to what Nick and D'Amico and Bobby Slowick have said about how easy it is to fix.
Ron, they are capable, but where are they? Where they are, they haven't shown up yet. I just don't think haven't shown up yet is, yes, they have had some struggles, but I mean, they have – I mean, they have put up points, as I've given examples, like the Patriots game, the first game they played against this one. I'm with you, Ron. I expect this to be a game to set the tone going into the primetime stretch. Tyler, where are you at on this? Because you got them winning 14, 15 games, somewhere close to that. And I just say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because of the level of your confidence here. I mean,
your question?
Don't you get a sense that – do you get a sense that they will have a bounce-back week,
man,
offensively?
I mean, I'm really not trying to cop out. I mean, I sure as hell hope so. Like, because I've been feeling that way to some degree, off and on every Sunday.
I'm
like, this is it. Now here we go. This will be the Sunday we see that separation from Tank. This is the Sunday we see Stroud do those things we saw in that rookie campaign. I've been waiting. So – I hope so.
See, this,
and if it is, it's gonna be the. If it's gonna be, it's gonna be.
We've lost Tyler.
No, they've lost Tyler. They've lost Tyler. It's
Tyler's on the fence. Tyler's never on the fence. Tyler.
Look, they have earned every bit of this. Again, what we've seen from a pass protection perspective all year long has been well below expectations for this group. This group is expected. What you've got invested in the tight ends, and the offensive line, and the running back room, and the fact that your offensive coordinator was getting courted as a head coach last year, we shouldn't have protection problems. We flat out shouldn't. We should be one of the best protecting football teams in all of the NFL. The investment, the draft picks, the money, the play caller, the quarterback, the tight end that's $12 million, the running back that's – you should be the best pass-protecting team in the NFL. And for 7 weeks, we've watched every time a decent defense, whether it's scheme or it's a really good couple of players, you've struggled mightily to where we've got to start being concerned about C.J. Stroud's health at some point.
No, I mean,
Mina Kimes is worried about supporting cast in Houston. Think about that. Mina Kimes, who studies the advanced stats and the dollars and cents and everything, and I know she watches film too. I'm just her, like, the way she studies football is as complete as you can study the game, like every single angle, right? And she's worried about a supporting cast that is Nico, Tank, Diggs, Tunsil, Titus Howard, a first-round draft pick, a second-round draft pick, center, a Super Bowl champion guard, a $12 million tight end, and the third-best running back in the game right now from a production standpoint. I mean, that's not a reaction to just one bad Green Bay game.
No, and mine is not the reaction to that. I do think the Green Bay game was far worse than anything else. I think they have had struggles with protection, but then the Green Bay game they were just awful. I mean, it was beyond struggle. It was like they couldn't function. They've had struggles before. They struggled against the Bears. They struggled against the Colts at times. The Colts got 4 sacks, but I mean, he still was able to function as an offense. They just couldn't even function in this game, to be honest with you, throwing the football. So I think it was a little worse than, or not a little, much worse than everything else. I just think, to me, one, as you said right off the jump, the opponent, this is not one of the great defenses in the league. And you know this better than I do, these professional athletes, these guys that just listen to something all week long, and everything that's been said about this offense is, you all ain't worth a damn. Y'all ain't nothing. All of you up front, and I mean, this is C.J. Stroud. This is Stephon Diggs. This is Tank Dell. These are guys that have, I mean, even the guys up front, Juice Scruggs, all of them, Shaq Mason, a champion. These guys have, like, to me, if you can't get yourself up against this opponent who you just destroyed in the first game offensively, you can't get yourself going at home for this one. And there's still some stuff on the line, division wise. Then the Texans got some problems. They got some major problems. With the guys they have in terms of Slowick and D'Amico, those guys, those coaches who I know right now many of you don't like the Texans coaching staff, but remember where the Texans were, and a lot of it has to do with the Texans coaching staff that got them to a place where we're mad at 5-2. Like, remember that. Like they're not just idiots. Like, this is a team before the season started that many people thought could win the Super Bowl. All right, if you can't get it done right now against the Colts, like this defense, if you can't put, then that got some problems.
Look, I hear you. Apparently, you need the Colts to for you to really, you need the Colts to play well and prove to you that they got problems. I don't.
Listen, I'm not going to say this game won't be close, but like the last one was close. It was 29-27. To me, this is a 19-14 ball game. This is one of these 17-10 games that the Colts like to play. Well, they beat the Dolphins 16-10 last week. Then I will be surprised by that. I will be surprised if 2 weeks in a row the Texans offense just stink it up like they have the last couple weeks, like they did last week. Because even before that, they didn't just – I mean, they had been that bad. I will be surprised if it is just a stink fest like that over the next couple of weeks. People texting in, when did Ron become the person of positivity? That's not positivity. I'm just being honest.
Is that my boy Ron?
I mean, I think Ron's speaking for the people.
Not really.
I mean, look. Yeah, I mean, look.
Not really, because now that
I want them. I think they should as well. Like, you should show up. This should be a game where you can right the ship. This should be a game where, boy, if you can't get up for this one, boy, I don't know what you can get up for. I agree.
You just don't believe it yet.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. I mean, what have we seen all year from this football team?
We've seen good and bad. We've seen good and bad. We've seen moments where they have gotten up and made plays, and we've seen the Packer game and the Viking game.
Did you watch the Minnesota game?
I said, and the Viking game.
Did you watch the Chicago
game? I did.
I watched the Patriot game. I watched the Colts game. I watched them make plays against Buffalo, especially in the first half. I watched them make plays against Jacksonville, especially in the first half. Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them make plays. All right, coming up, the injury report is out, and there are some players that have already been ruled out for this game. We will let you know the latest with that. And this is a huge game, not just in terms of getting the Texans going and this offense getting back in a better place where some of y'all can believe, but it's even more than that. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Aranda Sports Bar inside Dakari Arandas on North Shepherd. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. As we continue here, live here, a little Football Friday. Go ahead. There you go. That's a good-looking beer you got right there to get this Friday started. I see you, man. Come on out and hang out with us. We've already hooked somebody up with our first winner, and you can continue to have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as tickets for that exhibition game between Houston, U of H. This is basketball, college basketball, between U of H and Texas A&M. Come on out with us. I see from the text line, two texts right here. Ron is on the right path, and then also Ron is on the sauce again. So what I will say to you, those are on YouTube and Twitch.
The sauce is right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm on the right path, baby. A little bit of both.
Hold on, so.
It's Ron. Thank you so much. All right, let me throw this out, fellas. The injury report, and we have official designations for this game. Guys, Azeez Al-Shaair is out. No surprise there. I think we started to see that coming. Jimmy Ward is out as well. But our guy Robert Woods, he is full participant, no injury designation. And the only other person that has one, Clint, is Henry Toa-Toa. He is questionable, listed right now. As we said earlier, he was limited in practice on Wednesday. Then he did not practice in the game at all, or did not practice, I'm sorry, at all on Thursday. And then he was limited again today, returning to practice. He is listed as questionable. No injury designation at all on Kamari Lassiter. He's not even questionable nothing at all. And those are the only three. Alshire is out. Jimmy Ward is out. And then Henry Toa is questionable. So it looks like you're at least getting your starting cornerback in this game. And D'Angelo Ross will kind of fall back into the role he was in prior to the injury to Kamari Laster, who missed the last two games. So
and that's big, Ron.
It's
you know, last week, there's no doubt about it, Green Bay was targeting D'Angelo Ross, the reserve corner that took the place of Kamari Laster. And up to when Kamari Laster went out, there was no reason to believe that he's not a frontline starter. He was playing really well. He had not been targeted much at all, maybe with an individual route here or there, a double move here or there, but consistently in a game the way that they seemed to go after D'Angelo Ross early on. We hadn't seen offenses do that to Kamari Laster, and so there's got to be a reason behind that. Getting him back is big, man. I mean, this is a game where I think the Texans are going to have to load up to stop the run. It maybe not four quarters, but definitely in critical situations, critical drives. And when you do so, you're going to put some of those guys, you're going to expose yourself a bit in the secondary. And to have Kamari Laster back as one of those corners that you're going to lean on is big. And look, even D'Angelo Ross at times, if they have to go into a cover mode, that D'Angelo Ross having gotten that run last week could be big as well.
Yeah, that and it's interesting you bring up Kamari Laster, because it is big that they get him back. Clearly, we saw him. The Patriots didn't try Ross at all for some reason, only one target, but clearly they saw something there. It is a wonder. You brought this up when he initially got injured. It is a wonder if we see some sort of an adjustment to how Kamari Laster plays. It just, when you said this is a team that wants to run the football, and Kamari Laster, the one that we've known since he's been here and at Georgia, he is into helping in the run game. Hell, you may say, I wonder if that shoulder situation came, because he is very, very physical in the run game. And listen, I don't care what they say, Clint. I am surprised if he's 100%. I feel like he's come back early a bit. Like, they thought this may be 3 weeks. He may miss 3 weeks. I would be surprised if he's 100% healthy. And it is a wonder, does he come back? Is he thumping like he was? Because that's how he's played, 100 miles an hour, using that shoulder, using that physicality. I wonder, does he play the game differently?
Well, look, I hope so. I mean, the reality
you
of
said
it is,
that,
yeah, look, I just, you can't help us if you're not available. And look, there's one thing to be a physical corner. There's another thing to be head hunting and beating your helmet every time you make a hit and play recklessly. Like, I admire it about the kid. I mean, I like the mentality. Clearly, D'Amico likes the mentality. I just like him to be available. And I don't need you to be head hunting in a reckless space when you're tackling particularly players that are bigger than you and you're coming downhill on the edge versus the run. Get the tackle done. Be a sure tackler. Get up and let's go play coverage. He has just been, with the exception of maybe Azeez Al-Shaair, he appears to like contact more than anybody on the defense.
Yeah, he enjoys it.
It is an Azeez linebacker mentality. Like, I watched Jalen Petrie, and Jalen Petrie is an instinctual. I think he's a good tackler, better tackler than most. He's aggressive. But I don't, like, when he's head hunting, it ain't reckless to the point of where I'm like, damn, be careful now.
See, sometimes when he pulls up, you think, ah, dog.
Yeah, well, Kamari Laster just looks like he is going in there head first, and he's, I mean, if it ain't a fine, it's going to be an injury. Like, I hope he pulls the reins back a little bit, because this defense needs him.
No, they do need him, and you hope he's ready and he's good to go.
Yeah.
In this thing, because, but Clint, I think probably people have talked to him about it, but I get the feeling that this cat has played this way his whole life. I get the feeling that we're going to see the physical version. I get the feeling if he sees Jonathan Taylor coming out and there's some sort of a sweep or a run out his way, he is coming in, and he is coming in with authority like he always has.
Let's just get them knees. Let's just side swipe them knees, man. Let's just bull ride him. Jump on his back. Let's do. We don't need to come down leading with the head and the shoulder and the chest. We don't need that on Jonathan Taylor. We don't. We don't need it.
I just don't think he's going to jump on his back.
No, I agree with you. I think there's. It is.
You think they've even had conversations to talk about, like?
Well, I mean, I would hope so. I'm not saying they've had a scared conversation with him, but the hey man, you're better for this football team if you're available than you
we
are.
Need you, yeah.
If you're known around the league as a headhunter. I mean, we like you to be physical. Let's learn how to be physical. I think it's a big part of transitioning to the league for guys like him is learn how to be physical.
When you see him, there's a difference between being physical and then he garners into the reckless.
Right, he gets up and beats his own head multiple times a game. Yes, he is in a reckless place.
He's fired up a little bit like Ray.
When Azeez Al-Shaair came on and he was talking about like, hey man, like you got to be a little crazy to play this position right here. I don't need my corners in that mindset. You know, I don't need my the D line, DNs, linebackers, even your safeties. I'm cool with the safeties being
a little nuts.
A little nuts. He'd be in that headhunter mentality. My corners, I don't. I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to prove anything. Just make a tackle, boss.
Just go ahead and get him down on the ground.
That's it.
He's gonna make that tackle.
That's it.
He's gonna launch himself.
I need you to be. I need you to be here 100%.
He's gonna launch himself and he's gonna come under.
We can't
launch himself and beat himself up.
Yeah, no, we don't need that, man. If you're gonna miss 4, 5, 6 games in a year, because that's his own pace to do that. If you're gonna miss 4, 5, 6 games in a year, let's make it because it's a hamstring or something, not because you came in there headhunting.
Tell you, boy, get out of here. Get out of here right now, North Shepherd, right here.
What in the world? I thought you were telling people to get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out here. Get out here right now. Arondis.
Everybody out.
I got my man over here. He eating that queso full fingers, baby. He got full fingers in there. It's so good. Get it out.
I love me some hot cheese.
Oh, he is. He is filling
his
own,
ain't he?
Yeah, he is. That cheese was running.
Enjoy your meal, man.
That cheese was running down his fingers, and he did not stop himself. He went ahead and got it all. Got it all, baby. Go ahead. And that's how good it is. Get on out here and eat you a little bit of good food. The margaritas, I might need another one. The margaritas are fantastic as well. I see Reggie out here. He is talking to the people and sipping a little bit of something. So come on out here and have a good time with us. All right. Let's hit our college football games of the week as we do. As we always do, we know there are that Football Friday doesn't just mean Sunday. Football Friday also means Saturday, and there are some big games locally and big games around the country. We'll talk about our three big games that we're looking at coming up next right here live on The Drive. But I'm going to tell you what, before we get there, fans out there, you know who knows you? 5-Hour Energy Drink. I know they do, and I can see Tyler. He's probably got one right there next to it.
But it's been pretty loud.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Aranda's Sports Bar inside Taqueria Aranda's on North Shepherd. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we continue riding here live. There we go. Good time being had. Come on out here. Get on out here, as I know many of you are getting off of work, as we are at Aranda's Sports Bar right here at Taqueria's Aranda's. Come on in. Come on out. Right off of North Shepherd here in the Heights. Make your way on out here as we've got prizes. We've got, listen, I'm telling you, they've got great food, great drinks. As I'm looking at these margaritas coming around here, the bar is fantastic. You can come out and have a great time out here and hang with us, get you ready for this big game against the Colts for the Texans coming up on Sunday. Now, listen, we tend to talk a lot on Football Fridays about, you know, the NFL with the Texans, and as we should. But Saturdays are big as well, and we're starting to get down to it, Clint. Where we're starting to kind of see some teams make some moves, and we're starting to see some teams separate and seeing some teams that have a chance that could get to the 12-team playoff and starting to see some conference battles that get us there. Tyler, go ahead and hit me with my music here as we get ready here. I'm going to kick this thing off with the game I'm looking at. Last week at this time, I was absolutely dead wrong about Texas. Tyler is happy to hear that. Andy, our engineer, is shaking his head as he is very excited about that. But I was dead wrong about Texas. I thought they would win. I thought there was a chance if anybody was going to win 30-15 in the game, that would have been Texas and not Georgia. clearly I was off on that. Clearly, Sark, to me, panicked. Start bringing in Arch Manning and then set him and did all kinds of things. But they're on the road, Clint, and they're at Vandy. They're in Nashville, and Vandy, who is now ranked, I don't know the last time I saw Vanderbilt ranked, but they are ranked. They're the number 25 team in the country. Texas drops to 5, Clint, and Vandy has been a problem for many teams. They almost beat Virginia Tech at home to start the season. That thing went into overtime, I believe. They went on the road to Missouri, a top 10 team at the time, and they had them on the ropes, lost in overtime on the road to Missouri, and obviously a couple of weeks back they went and beat Alabama, who had just finished off Georgia. They beat them at home and to get themselves into the top 25. Clint, this is a big game because, to me, if Quinn struggles in this game, I don't really care what Sark has said this week. If Quinn struggles in this game, I think there is a controversy. I think there is at least a conversation in terms of quarterback controversy, because he's already shown he'll put him in a game. He already pulled the trigger and put him in the game, and not just in a game, against Georgia on the road, put him in the game. So to me, this is a big game for Quinn, and I, honest to God, I've watched Vandy. They seem to be able to at least play with anybody. And of course, obviously, they beat Alabama. This is not a just get right game or, oh, turn the page, we got an easy one after Georgia. Vanderbilt's a tough opponent, especially on the road.
Well, Vanderbilt's a tough opponent, but Texas has got to prove that they're you know, worthy of a top five ranking at this point in time. And it's not that they shouldn't be right now, but they've got to go get this W to stay up there. I mean, this is Vanderbilt's a 5-2 football team. Vanderbilt's a dangerous football team. You get them at their place. They've already thrown the damn goalpost after beating Alabama in the river next to Nissan Stadium down there in Nashville. And so this is a team that, again, I don't know that the expectations are real high for the season in general, but they're higher than they've ever been, and they're definitely going to play spoiler to a couple of teams. They already have. So
they're ranked.
Yeah, they are right now. Yeah,
they're 25th.
25th.
Yep.
Yeah, that's you know, this is a week where Texas has got to prove that they belong in the top five, and Vanderbilt's no slouch. It's not your father's Vanderbilt. That's for damn sure.
No, it's not. Not even your cousins. Yeah, this is a different Vanderbilt team that has given everybody trouble, especially there. All right, Tyler, we all know what it is. Go ahead and tell the people your game of the week. I know you are amped and thinking about this sucker right now, because this could be a big day for A&M.
Oh yeah, and you guessed it, like many probably did out there. My game of the week is at the legendary Kyle Field. Saturday night, under the lights. Kyle Field, black uniforms coming back for Texas A&M. First time they're doing that, I believe, since Manziel days.
Hey, I saw the helmet.
Oh, they are sick. We're going to have a blackout at Kyle Field, LSU coming into town to take on A&M, and whoever wins this game is going to be the only SEC squad left without a loss in conference. So a lot on the line for both LSU Tigers and Texas A&M Aggies. And a fun fact for you, if you need some sort of stat or just one reason to be tuned in tomorrow night to A&M LSU. LSU's starting offensive line this year, when healthy, when all those big fellows are healthy for LSU this year, they have not allowed a single sack of the quarterback. One of Texas A&M's strengths, that defensive line. Yeah. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. Of course, I got the Aggies.
Yeah, it's going to be a monster matchup. I watched them beat the hell out of the LSU Tigers, that is, beat the hell out of my Hogs last week. That's a team that's trending in the right direction. They're trending where they're getting better with every start from Nussmeier. Nussmeier last week, two weeks ago against Ole Miss, he wouldn't the ball versus cover two and had plenty of opportunities, and he forced the football down the field. It seems like he got right against Arkansas and just took all the layups, made all the layups, and they started running the football better. Offensively, they appeared to take a huge step, and obviously gave us fits defensively as well. We couldn't get enough points on the board. But yeah, LSU's rolling, but you know what? A&M's rolling as well. It's going to be a hell of a football game.
To the point that Tyler made, Georgia's got a loss. Alabama's got multiple losses in the SEC. Like that the winner of this game is clearly in the driver's seat. Because like for A&M, Clint, or Tyler, what's the toughest game after this for A&M?
Probably
Texas
Sips
at the end.
Yeah,
that's it. Texas at the end. I mean, you know, the winner of this game puts themselves in position where it is like it is tough. That it would be tough for them almost. Not, I would say a collapse, but it'd have to really go bad for them not to at least be in contention to be in one of the top 12 in the playoffs. So this is a huge, huge game, and as you know, Tyler, you got to win these ones at home. You got to win these ones.
It's gonna be a packed house, that's for sure.
I know it. You ain't gonna be there, are you?
No. Saving myself for them tea sips on November 30th.
Are you going to that one for sure?
Yep. Oh, yeah, he bought the tickets.
Finally pulled the trigger and had to sell a kidney, but got tickets to that one.
No, you just needed to go 12 for 12 one night with the bets, which you just needed to do. And you pulled it up. All right, you got a game this week?
I do. There's a couple of Big Ten matchups, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of Big Ten football. Even adding the Pac-12 teams, it's just typically it's pretty easy for me to find better college football that I enjoy watching for my entertainment value. I'm going to go with Cincinnati, Colorado.
Cincinnati's been a bit of a surprise this year.
Well, sitting at 5-2, I mean they're a decent football team, and Colorado's sitting at 5-2. It's a late game Saturday night, 9:15 kick, and so it's going to have a lot of eyeballs. I am fascinated beyond all the noise of Deion Sanders in Colorado. Shedeur Sanders is the real deal at the quarterback position. He is really fun to watch. I don't appreciate all the pregame and postgame antics and all the trash talking and all the stuff that comes with Colorado right now. But boy, they are he is a damn good quarterback. The hype is real. I do like what Deion is building in Colorado. I do think they're one of very few programs in the country that is trending upward and is believable, especially coming from where he came from in terms of Colorado just being bottom of the barrel. And so I'm fascinated. I'm entertained by what's going on in Colorado. So that late night game, I'll have my eyes on.
Well, that spot in the Big 12 for the college football playoff, that spot is up in the air. The Big 12 is crazy. Yep. K-State is there. Colorado is in the mix. And BYU and Iowa State are the two teams I believe are undefeated right now in the mix. But Colorado is definitely there. Like they did a number on Arizona on the road last week, especially their defense only giving up 7 points. That's been the struggle for them. We'll see what they're able to do. But Shedeur's been impressive, especially because, I mean, he's had a couple of these games where he hasn't had Hunter or Horn, his top two guys, and they've still been able to make it work.
Well, you want to talk about a guy that just week in, week out, man, he distributes the football, he completes a high percentage, he goes out there and plays the position at a high level, and he takes calculated shots, and he doesn't get the credit. I'm sure he does end up getting the credit where it matters. I'm sure the scouts and folks understand, but just like he doesn't get the credit media-wise for being as cerebral a quarterback as he is. I mean, he is a sharp-ass dude when it comes to playing a quarterback position. I'm excited about watching him take it to the next level. And I'll be honest, I was a doubter when he first bumped up to the Big 12 and started playing at Colorado. I wasn't real sure if the hype was real. And so I've watched him with a critical eye, and I tell you, man, he's been good. It's fun to watch, and I think it transitions to the league. It transitions to championship-level football, and so we'll see if Colorado can pull it off.
What you got coming up in the four?
Well, it's a couple of big challenges with the Indianapolis Colts, obviously. The O-line, what is the bigger challenge for the Texans Sunday when they kick this thing off? The O-line versus Buck and Stewart, or these cover defenders versus Downs, Pierce, Pittman, and AD? 713-572-416. Let us hear from you. I'd love to know what you think. The O-line versus their D-line, or our cover defenders versus their wide receiver crew that's better than most think. 713-572-416. Let us know. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Before we get there, fellas out there.
What if I have erectile dysfunction, Ron?
I'm going to get there and help you with it. Now, if you have it, Tyler, which, and listen, Tyler is at the age of 33, 34, somewhere around there. He's getting older by the day.